This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. My name is Rich Bradbury and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bites on Wednesday, the 14th of September, 2022. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
If you want to get in touch with today's show, and you might want to, get us via WhatsApp. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. I'll say that again. 018-789-8899. And of course, you can get us on Twitter. We're at BFM Radio. Now, an interesting show lined up for you today here on Biz Bites. And I'll preface that by saying I am not a spiritual person in any regard, right? But we're not talking about spirituality in that sense that you might be familiar with.
Yes.
We're talking about spirituality in the workplace. Now, hold on to that thought a second and let me explain. So what does spirituality mean in the context of a workplace? So as human beings, we tend to focus on the tangible, like the physical and material plane, instead of the spiritual side of things. But why is spirituality important in the modern work environment? Well, we are inviting Sheila Singham. She is the managing partner at Human Equation. She's going to join us to discuss what workplace spirituality means and how it can play a positive role in an organization. So, in fact, we're so often focused on the physical and material facet that we neglect the spiritual side of things. It's important to know we can only find unconditional happiness and peace if we enrich our inner spiritual selves. Right? Which is why it's important for us to put some thought into spirituality at work so as to help understand ourselves better and to find meaning in our jobs. Now, while it might seem like the concept of spirituality at work means being religious at work, this is not true, as the concept has nothing to do with religious practices or beliefs.
So you might be thinking, what is workplace spirituality? Well,
We did, definitely.
According to a research paper by Pech Sawang and Dushan, workplace spirituality or spirituality at work is defined as having compassion towards others, experiencing a mindful inner consciousness in the pursuit of meaningful work, which enables transcendence. So in layman terms, it's just about finding meaning, value, and motivation in your work that goes beyond salary and performance.
Right.
Like internal fulfillment.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yes.
A moment's like about a group of people finding a sense of unity and togetherness in an organization as a whole. And apparently, more and more organizations are starting to realize the importance of a workplace spirituality, quote unquote, in the sense that more people are acknowledging the fact that work can be a meaningful part of their lives as well.
Yeah, and when I read around this, you know, for me, a lot of the time, though, there were red flags that first came up. You know, when you look at companies like WeWork, who certainly had a lot of this kind of embedded in their philosophy, in their work philosophy. And they did do very well, you know, for a very long time until their arguable spiritual leader did something nefarious. But anyway, so spirituality at work is starting to gain this growing awareness among some organizations due to the benefits it can confer, some of which includes things like improved overall well-being of employees, increased employee productivity, a better quality of life, increased morale amongst employees, reduction in workplace stress, and increased job satisfaction.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically all about making sure that your employees are engaged and that they're, you know, emotionally satisfied in a way, basically just past, again, the material benefits of job, right? And while there are many ways to encourage the practice of, I guess, workplace spirituality within an organization, it is a long and slow process, even though it will be rewarding. Employers have to understand that they will have to change how things are done to foster spirituality at work instead of the conventional office methodology of reaching targets. And the other thing that I do quite like about this idea is that in order for this to work, it's important to understand that each individual employee develops at a different rate. So employers have to be patient in helping employees get there.
So apparently, there are some important steps to help employers establish and build workplace spirituality. First of all, there needs to be a clear mission and purpose of how the company will serve clients with products and services. The goal here is to create a purpose that is beneficial to the betterment of society and not just as individuals. So I guess when we're talking about things like being much more green and all of these goals that we set down for ourselves, and to make sure any action taken by the company does not negatively affect people or other businesses. Hiring and recruiting people who align with the company's mission statement are able to work according to the company's purpose, and creating an environment of inclusion and diversity in the company. This will help promote and encourage a diverse culture that can help stimulate new ideas and thoughts.
Mm. And, you know, we've kind of said this ad nauseum, but employers should also invest in educating and training employees in self-leadership and self-awareness, help them realize their value and self-worth. Another really important thing is to discourage the culture of fear among employees. Like, if your employees are afraid of making mistakes, they will never actually make them and won't learn as a result, right? Mm-hmm. In relation to that, you got to foster an environment of trust in the workplace where employees can work, learn, and contribute together to a larger cause. And also, most importantly, you should encourage employees to spend time with their families, to spend more time in their personal lives, to focus on their health and other aspects that they deem important. And doing so can help them find happiness, contentment, and peace of mind in their lives and the workplace as well.
I think what's important to note about this is that, you know, we've seen the Great Resignation, and we've seen how people have become much more aware of what it is that fulfills them within the workplace. And I think this is just an extension of that, and another way of looking at that, and different terminology, perhaps, right?
Definitely.
And there are three important principles when it comes to practicing spirituality in a healthy and productive manner when it comes to work. Understanding that spirituality is more than just this idea of inward bliss. Spiritual pursuits are often efforts to attach oneself to a higher purpose. This can inspire actions that can lead to greater communal connections and creative outcomes. So when we seek meaning, connections, and wonder in the contemporary work environment, there is a need to be assertive, reactive, and cooperative.
Yeah, and also the second idea behind this is that ethics is more than just selflessness. Purposeful work can sometimes demand qualities and character traits that might not at first glance show moral significance. So stuff like entrepreneurial risk tolerance or an innovative spirit or a mathematical mindset. Ethics in this sense, I guess, is more the call to action in this fast-paced landscape of modern business. Every work decision has ethical implications, right? So meeting this burden requires drawing on a variety of skill sets and abilities as well. And it's also important to recognize that every action that we take does, you know, affect other people. Also, that work goes beyond sort of just falling in line, right? It's about ownership. The way that you work could change you, and the way that you and it can change the people that you come in contact with. So work is a cooperative endeavor, and it should aim to reach both the ethical and spiritual purposes, you know, for fulfillment. So, you know, you should be able to create new value, and you should be able to disrupt the old way of doing things as well.
I mean, do you see a place for spirituality at the workplace to play a positive impact on this current work environment that we're in?
I don't think I would call it spirituality. I think it's really the the crux of where personally I'm at. I kind of feel like that denotes a very specific idea. But I will say, you know, stuff like taking ownership of your work, being mindful of how you act and how you treat others, stuff like affirming your team, making sure that they know that they're valued and respected. That is, you know, if that is, covered under this idea, then I do think that, yes, 100%, that's really important in playing a positive impact on work.
Okay. Owen has just sent us a message via WhatsApp. Thank you, Owen. Just like Owen, if you want to do the same thing, 0187898899, that's a WhatsApp number. Owen has said being kind is key to work spirituality.
Yeah.
So we'll be kind. We're going to take a break. We're going to have some music from Linda Ronstadt with Rescue Me. When we come back, we will be hearing from Sheila Singham, the managing partner at Human Equation, to dive into what workplace spirituality is and how it can help companies foster a more positive work environment. That's all coming up after these messages here on Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Brand-friendly marketeers. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Today we're discussing what spirituality means in the context of a workplace. As human beings, we tend to focus on the tangible, such as the physical and material plane, instead of the spiritual side of things. But why is spirituality important in the modern work environment? We are inviting Sheila Singham, the managing partner at Human Equation, to discuss what workplace spirituality means and how it can play a positive role in an organization. We've been asking you guys to chime in with your thoughts on this. We've got Tsai Yao Yang has said, you know what would enhance my workplace spirituality? More salary. Yep, I'm with you there. We've also got another one from number ending 4132 who says, everything is spiritual expression and experience, including work. The invisible stuff is the spiritual stuff, which equals the spiritual stuff at work. Okay, thank you very much for that. If you want to add more comments, you know how to get us. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Twitter, we are available at BFM Radio. Now, Sheila, I think you need to clarify a few things for us whilst we've got you on the phone. First question, is spirituality akin to religion?
Well, I'd answer no to that question, actually. Spirituality is not religion. You have religious bigots who do not have an ounce of spirituality about them. And you can have very spiritual people who do not follow any one religion. So what's the difference, actually? Well, religion is defined as an institutionalized system of attitudes, beliefs, and practices that provide a framework for the service and worship of a divine being. So there are many different religions in the world. They're often based on the lives, teachings, and beliefs of a historical or archetypal figure that, carried down the ages through oral tradition and written scriptures. Religions are often defined by observable rules and practices that people tend to follow, right? And in communities. Spirituality is more of an individual practice, and it's related to the process of developing beliefs around one's purpose and connection with others. It's more of an inward journey that leans towards the internalization of your awareness of self and your life's journey. So there are generally no rules and structures to guide you. It's kind of like a pathless path, an evolutionary journey to self-discovery and fulfillment. Having said that, it's interesting to note that religion and spirituality can be interconnected, as one can have an impact on a greater realization of the other. When you've been brought up in some faith, when you adopt spiritual practices and get a deeper sense of self and self-actualization and so on, it actually could bring you closer to the divine being that, you worship. And on the flip side, sometimes when you go deeper into your religious practices, the practice of silent meditation and so on, it can actually make you grow more spiritual.
Right. And Sheila, I know that you also wanted to talk about this because you were inspired by Sri Pritaji, and they spoke of these concepts called like the hungry mind and consumerism, and how that is sort of at odds with the idea of spirituality in the workplace as well. I know that's sort of where you got that from, this idea and this topic. But when you think about consumerism and then you think about spirituality in the workplace, they seem kind of contradictory, right?
Because
isn't that how business is run? It's sort of run on increased consumerism. What do you think of all this?
Consumerism is the preoccupation of society with the acquisition of consumer goods. The more we as a society are preoccupied with acquiring things, the more businesses will succeed. So yes, businesses depend on increased consumerism, which ultimately can be at the expense of the health of the planet. My question is this: don't we have a responsibility to balance the pursuit of more profit with care for humanity and for the earth? Don't we have a responsibility to reduce the harmful impact of consumerism on nature and humanity? From what Sri Prithaji said, human beings do not appear to know how to apply brakes to the hungry mind that makes us diehard consumers. We want more and more, sometimes even when we can't afford it. This constant need to acquire material possessions, even those we do not need, is definitely fulfilling some need within us. I don't know, a need to belong, a need to be respected, a need to fill a void. Different ones of us have different needs. When you examine people who are truly spiritual, however, we find that their inner needs are fulfilled by other things than consumer goods. And when you look at leaders who are truly spiritual, you find that they apply responsibility in the way they run their organizations. Some plow back a portion of the profits into developing their people, some into charitable pursuits, and some into sustainability initiatives. So yes, we need consumerism to do business. I cannot deny that. But we also need awareness of how we can balance it with acts that will mitigate the harmful impact of this consumerism. And this awareness usually comes in tandem with spiritual practices, which can help us to focus our actions on how to discover our purpose in making the world a better place.
Okay, we've had a message from Zini Sri via WhatsApp, who says, spirituality is a lifestyle. If you're already spiritual in life, it will follow you into the workplace. Mm. Sheila, why is spirituality even relevant in the workplace?
Well, spirituality generally has the effect of improving our overall well-being, giving us an inner sense of contentment and fulfillment. And when you have employees who are contented, fulfilled, not just, you know, pursuing promotion and more money alone, they are more motivated. They have a sense of purpose, their place in the organization, their contribution. And this can actually lead to higher commitment, performance, productivity, and job satisfaction. So when that happens, you will have reduced absenteeism and burnout, lower workplace stress, and probably a reduced turnover rate as well. And people like this have a stronger sense of values. They tend to have more responsibility and a greater sense of ownership of the business. And ultimately, this can create a more integrated workforce that is more open, more innovative, more creative, with that constant desire to keep evolving and improving. And, people get more serious about balancing profitability with sustainability and good governance. And, good governance is really becoming a big issue in organizations today.
Mm. Now, Sheila, I think it's safe to say that there may be some cynicism, perhaps, around this idea of bringing spirituality into the workplace. What would be, I guess, the resistance potentially to adopting spiritual practices in the office in the way that we're talking about today?
I think the resistance to adopting spiritual practices could probably be because people do not understand what spirituality is. Many people think it has to do with religion, and people are averse to mixing religion with business. I mean, I don't see any harm in that, but when you start imposing your religious values and practices to people from, other faiths, therein lies the problem. At the workplace especially. Workplace spirituality actually has nothing to do with religion, as I said earlier, but it's focused on the theme of tolerance, patience, the feel of interconnectivity, purpose, and alignment to the values of the organization and its mission. And this actually can translate to employees who are more committed to the business. Workplace spirituality actually ties in with the apex of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is self-actualization and self-transcendence. When people begin to understand that spiritual practices can help them evolve, grow, bring inner awareness and contentment, help them to manage stress, as well as teach them to become more focused, efficient, and creative, as well as more purposeful, they become more fulfilled, right? There's a sort of feeling of happiness and satisfaction with themselves, not just in what they do and what they achieve. And so if they realize this, then they might be more willing to embrace these practices at work. There are many ways we can remain professional while practicing spirituality at work, you know.
Okay, hold that thought then, Sheila. We are going to take a quick break while we ruminate on this. We are talking about spirituality in the workplace and how it means something quite different. What does it mean in the context of the workplace? And as human beings, we tend to focus on the tangible, like the physical and the material plane, instead of the spiritual side of things. Sheila Singham is helping to help us digest some of this. We're going to take a short break, but like some of our previous listeners, Zini Shri and Owen Lead and Sai Yao Yang, if you want to get in touch, get us via WhatsApp. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter, we're at BFM Radio. Some music coming up from Steely Dan with Reeling in the Years. We'll be back in just a few moments here on BFM 89.9.
Building First World Malaysians. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury and I'm joined in the studio by
Christine Wong.
So today we are speaking about spirituality in the workplace. And this is something a bit difficult to describe, and it's difficult to define it because it means different things to different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose the confusion arises due to the use of the word spirituality and religion synonymously. But workplace spirituality is not the same as religion.
Mm-mm.
Spirituality at workplace is as simple as having a sense of connection between your own self and the workplace, I guess.
Yeah, looking for more in your work that is meaningful past the material benefits.
Right. And so to help us clarify some of these thoughts, we've been speaking and hearing from Sheila Singham. Of course, Sheila is the managing partner at Human Equation. Sheila, I guess we've just got one final question for you then. And I suppose it's like, if there are bosses and there are organizations and leaders who are interested in this, you know, what are some of the ways that they can promote workplace, quote unquote, spirituality?
Well, one of the things leaders can start doing is to increase spiritual literacy in the workplace, you know, by educating employees and the benefits of spirituality to themselves and the organization. But first of all, they've got to correctly define what spirituality is and really sort of divorce that concept of spirituality from religion. You know, having a clearly defined mission on how your company will serve its stakeholders and society at large and humanity in sense of your purpose and your place, you know, in the scheme of things, the legacy that you're going to leave behind, embracing sustainable practices, practices that, you know, push integrity, having a good governance framework in place, and ensuring that there are values that are clearly translated into sound, acceptable behaviors, which are communicated through all levels of the organization. And organizations, leaders have to seriously start looking at eliminating practices that negatively impact humanity and the environment. Because, you know, at the end of the day, we are all sort of interconnected and interdependent. Another thing that, you know, would actually help to raise levels of spirituality is to create an environment of inclusion and diversity and promote practices in the organization that build creativity, that encourage creativity, foster it, confidence and self-worth in employees. Another thing is, you know, to start creating safe zones for feedback and communication that would actually build trust, because, you know, trust is a critical workplace currency if you want to have more spiritual beings. No, and personally, of course, being an NLP and timeline therapy trainer, I cannot stress enough how I've seen this benefit employees and help raise their, you know, level of spirituality. And I think there needs to be a stress on balance. It cannot be all work, 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 put the company first, kill yourself with the organization. Companies that stress, you know, health and family connections and relationships, that employees have a great work-life balance, these are companies that are actually promoting spiritual practices.
Okay, thanks for that, Sheila. Folks, if you missed any part of today's show, remember you can download it wherever you normally get it from. I recommend the BFM app. That is available in the Apple App Store or Google Play. Don't go anywhere, though, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it's the Breakfast Grill replay. Victor Sim, the managing director of Tyson Foods Malaysia, is who was on the show this morning. One of the world's largest food companies, Tyson Foods, acquired Mac Food Services at Sindir and Berhad and continues to provide protein products to local and export markets. They also acquired a 49% stake in Ayam Dindings from Malayan Flour Mills at Berhad for 445 million ringgit in May 2021. Managing Director Victor Sim shared the impact of the ban on chicken exports on the company and the demand for plant-based products in Malaysia. Have you tried the Ayam brand plant-based products yet, Chris?
I didn't know they existed. What?
Yes.
Now I know.
They do. They have plant-based tuna. They have plant-based spam. Plant-based, yeah.
Not sponsored.
There you go. Not at all. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. To take us up there, some music from Queen and the Gin Blossoms. We'll be back, of course, tomorrow. Chris, I believe, will be joining us remotely from her homestead. This, of course, is Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.